What happened next? Have you ever gotten to the end of the gospel books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and asked yourself, what happened next? Welcome to Through the Bible. You'll be happy to know there's a sequel to the Gospels. It's the book of Acts. And today we're beginning this great history book that picks up on the same day the Gospel of Luke ends. In fact, the same writer, Luke, writes the sequel. Our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, begins in just a moment in Acts chapter 1. But first, Greg and I want to share with you something new that's happening at Through the Bible. So, Greg, what's new?
Oh, man, one of my very favorite things for you to ask me, Steve. And the challenge, as you know, is always, boy, what do I pick that's new? And today I was just looking through some of the many reports that I get, and I thought that it would be really, really encouraging to our listening family for us to go deeper behind these radio home groups. And this literally came into my inbox just a week or so ago. And this report that you're holding in your hands and that I have in my hand is about four languages that I've never heard of. And yeah. I've been doing this kind of work. But the first one is called, we're going to do our best with it. These are Indian languages, Magahi.
Yep.
The second one, what do you have there?
Mundari.
And then Kyria.
Kyria, yeah, I'll go with Kyria.
Okay.
And Karasti.
You might be saying, well, why are you guys sharing these? Well, because when we tell you about the home groups that are reaching so many people, we want you to really use your imagination to understand that we're going into these remote languages that probably have next to nothing in terms of Christian teaching, and we're bringing them Dr. McGee's teaching.
Yeah, and as we've said this before, you know, these people probably speak English, they probably speak Hindi, but getting something in your mother tongue, if you're a multilingual person, you understand this. Going into your heart language, the one you learned at home, has so much of a powerful effect, and your willingness to listen to it is going to be so much stronger than if it was in, you know, the trade language that you picked up.
Yeah, so what we want to do is give you, this report gives us just little vignettes of each of these different languages. So I'll start with Magahi, and it says, limited access to sound biblical teaching in their language has been one of the greatest challenges faced by the Magahi faithful. The launch of systematic Bible studies, and that's through the Bible, in the language was eagerly welcomed by 80 radio home leaders that have been trained and ready to lead their own in the study of the Word of God. So, Steve, let's just stop right there. Not only are we gathering these groups through our partner, Transworld Radio India, they're training leaders. And in this case, they're going into this very obscure language, but there are Christians there that are dying for systematic teaching.
Yeah, so true. We've got a little more time. Yeah. Here's one from a Korea pastor. Over 10 local fellowships are overseen by a single Korea pastor in keeping with our mandate to come alongside local churches and our desire to see greater spiritual maturity among our many people groups. The Kahari Systematic Bible Commentary, which is through the Bible, was launched this March. 105 media players are going to be used by radio home groups, and they were distributed out there. Yeah. Now, the thing that I want to point out is, you know, people think, well, okay, Through the Bible is a ministry. How do you impact the local church? And we come alongside and we work hand in hand with them, because you can't just, even if we were just a program that was, you know, had an app and you had great Bible teaching, you still need the local church.
Yes.
You need
fellowship.
You need discipleship. You need to serve. And that's what we do in assisting the local church to build their bodies.
Absolutely. And let me point out, because I heard you say Korea, it's not South Korean Korea. This is spelled K-H-A-R-I-A. So this is an Indian language. And again, as Steve's pointing out, 105 media players means at least 105 groups, because many times a single media player gets used 2, 3, 4, 5 times a week by different groups. So just imagine, this is going to probably impact hundreds, if not 1,000 people.
Yeah, this report is so good because it highlights so many aspects of the ministry that plays out that I don't know that we always get to,
bring
out.
No.
The other part is, here's one from the Munda Forum and the third largest tribe in the Jakartan state, with several local churches being run by untrained lay leaders.
Yes.
And that's another
point. Yeah.
The whole thing about, you know, these guys can't necessarily go to seminary. They get saved, they love the Lord, and they want to start preaching, and okay, I'm going to wing it a little bit here. They need, you know, systematic doctrinal theology, and McGee provides that.
And just, if your heart is stirred by the idea of us being able to equip church leaders all over India, and we're talking about tens of thousands of groups that are being carried out and being led, and the leaders are being trained. This is so exciting. We barely scratched the surface of this one little report. Unfortunately, I think we're running out of time.
Okay. Well, oh man, I wanted to read
I know,
this one
I can
about
tell
one.
You look disappointed.
I thought we're going to get to one. Yeah. Okay, anyway, we'll do it another time. So Greg, why don't you pray for us as we begin our study?
Father, we stand amazed that you allow us just to have the privilege of giving out the bread of life, the word of God, the systematic teaching of Dr. McGee in some of these far-flung places that none of us will ever go in this lifetime. And yet we will meet these people in heaven. We will rejoice together that we had a small part in helping them grow, in helping them evangelize. What an amazing thing you're doing. We just bow before you in praise, and we thank you that we get to play a part in your eternal purposes. Now we pray that your word would speak to us through your servant, Dr. McGee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, as we said a moment ago, the book of Acts has been called the fifth gospel. It's a continuation of the Gospel of Luke, but it's quite interesting to note something else, and this is quite remarkable. The last recorded fact about Jesus in the Gospels is as follows. In the Gospel of Matthew, the last recorded fact is the resurrection. That's in Acts 1. In the Gospel of Mark, the last recorded act is the ascension. That is in Acts 1. And in the Gospel of Luke, the last recorded fact is the promise of the Holy Spirit. That's in Acts 1. And in the Gospel of John, the last recorded fact is the promise of the second coming. And that, my friend, you guessed it, is in Acts 1. All of that. So you see, all of the four Gospels have been poured, as it were, into a funnel, and they come down into this bottle or jug of the first chapter of the book of Acts, and then open out into the book of Acts. The great missionary commission given in the four Gospels is also confirmed in Acts. Acts furnishes a ladder on which to place the epistles. It's a bridge between the Gospels and the epistle. And the New Testament without Acts leaves a great yawning gap. Now, the book of Acts records actually the beginning of the church, the birth of the church. It's interesting to note this. Genesis records the origin of the physical universe. Acts records the origin of the spiritual body, which is the church. Now, most of the books, we attempt to pull out of the book a verse that somehow or another is more or less the theme of the book. Now here in the book of Acts, of course, it would be Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." Now, I have divided the book of Acts according to that. You find it works out something like this. You see the Lord Jesus Christ at work by the Holy Spirit through the apostles in Jerusalem in the first seven chapters. Then chapters 8 through 12, you see the Lord Jesus Christ at work by the Holy Spirit through the apostles in Judea and Samaria. Then in the last part, chapters 13 through 28, the Lord Jesus Christ at work by the Holy Spirit through the apostles to the uttermost part of the earth. And the book of Acts is not complete. It just breaks off, you know, with Paul in his own hired house in Rome. And that is it. There's no proper ending. You know why? Because the book of Acts is now being written from heaven. Maybe the Lord has Dr. Luke up there writing the rest of the book of Acts. And maybe you and I'll get in. I don't know. I hope so. It would be wonderful to find out that, well, let's put it like this. It may not be in the book of Acts, but it's in the book up there what you and I are doing for him. It says at the end the books are going to be opened, friends. And that is the thing that may frighten some of us, but it's going to take place. Now let me come back to the book of Acts, and there are several comments I would like to make that will help you in reading this. Now, for those of you who are studying the Bible with us, and this is a very simple method. I have no complicated outlines or complicated studies to present. I do not believe the Word of God should be presented that way. We do not approach it from the philosophical viewpoint at all. We approach it from the historical and biblical viewpoint. And we believe that it should be very simple indeed. And we believe that the Spirit of God can speak to us and through us in that way. And I thank the Lord that we receive so many letters from people in all walks of life. A professor in the University of Ohio, another professor down in Virginia, another professor up in the state of Washington, one in the San Francisco Bay Area, and then from a great many people that barely can read the English language, and they all testify to this. It is understandable, and that, my friend, is the nicest thing you could say about our Bible study, because if you want to know the truth, we believe that the Word of God must be made understandable. Now notice these features that if you will note them as you go through the book of Acts, it'll make this book more meaningful to you. You find, first of all, there is the prominence of the Lord Jesus Christ in this book. He's gone now, that is, in the first chapter, he ascends, but he's still at work. He's just moved his position, his location. He's moved his headquarters. As we said, we felt his headquarters were in Capernaum as long as he was here on this earth. His headquarters now are at the right hand of the Father. And he's just simply removed headquarters from one place to another. And so you have here the prominence of the Lord Jesus Christ at work through the book of Acts, but from the vantage place of heaven itself. Now we have a second thing that we see in the book of Acts, and that's the prominence of the Holy Spirit. Christ promised to send the Holy Spirit. You find it mentioned in the Gospel of John about four times. And then here in the book of Acts, he promised it. Now this is the age of the Holy Spirit that you and I live in. The great fact of this age is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in believers. That's the great fact of this age. Now you have the power of the church in this book. You will notice that there is a power that is in the church, and of course that's the working of the Spirit of God that, my friend, is totally absent today from the church, and I don't care whose church that you're talking about. I have traveled across this country and up and down this country, and I think I know it fairly well. And I have heard people say, oh, there is a revival going on over yonder and over here and down there. And I've always tried to get to those places, but they ran out of revival when I arrived. Maybe I did something to stop it. I don't know. But it wasn't going on when I was there. That is what I would call a revival and what you have here in the book of Acts, the power of the church. And then you have the prominence of the church, both visible and invisible. Something new has come into existence in the book of Acts, and that is the church. Then you have the prominence of places. We gave you the outline a moment ago. We begin in Jerusalem. We'll end in Rome. And Sir William Ramsay checked all these places that Paul visited and Dr. Luke, and he found out how accurate he was. And then you have in this book the prominence of persons. Dr. Luke mentions 110 persons by name, besides reference to a multitude here and a mob here and a crowd here. I think by the end of the first century, there were literally millions of believers in the world. The church in those first 200 or 300 years had a phenomenal growth that has not been surpassed before or since by any movement at all. It was phenomenal, but it got slowed down, and it certainly is slowed down today. But it's working out just exactly as the Lord said it was. Now we have the prominence of the resurrection. That is the center of gospel preaching. Now we today in the church have one Easter sermon a year. A preacher gets up one Easter sermon a year. I began many years ago preaching in August. If I was not away on vacation or in conference, I always made a point of coming up with Easter in August. And I want to tell you, people came just to find out what had happened to a preacher. They thought the heat was getting him, that he had the idea there was Easter in August. But in the early church, there never was a sermon preached but what the very center and heart of the message was: the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter began on the day of Pentecost. That was his theme, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He says, what is taking place here is because he's up yonder, and he has sent the Holy Spirit into the world. And it's all due to the resurrection. And you find Paul made the resurrection the very heart of his message. I believe today that if anyone wants to ride a hobby, and there are a great many who ride hobbies in the Bible, a great many people like to take prophecy, others like to take the Keswick message, and others like to take some other facet or phase. Now, if you want to ride a hobby, let me suggest one for you: the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every Sunday was resurrection. It was Easter. He was risen, and they proclaim that everywhere. And that you find in the book of Acts. Then in chapter 8, there is the prominence of Peter in the first section and Paul in the last section. Now, there is a strange omission of the other apostles. The emphasis is upon the ministry of Peter, the ministry of Paul, and I think for a very definite reason. To begin with, Dr. Luke was acquainted with the ministry of these two men. He was an associate of Paul. And apparently, instead of the great many people thinking there was a disagreement between Peter and Paul, very candidly, I'm of the opinion that Dr. Luke and Peter and Paul got together a great many times, a great many talks, a great many things that are not recorded in the scripture at all. May I come back to the seventh thing that I mentioned that was prominent, and that's the resurrection, to make this comment, because here's a verse that has been so, I think, twisted and distorted. The Lord Jesus Christ says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. How was he lifted up? Well, he was lifted up in resurrection, friends. Lifted up from the dead. That's the message today. And if that message is not given, oh, I don't care how much you talk about Jesus and how much you talk about how lovely he is. The important thing is he came back from the dead and says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I think the problem today has been the fact we're not preaching a resurrected Christ. The book of Acts does, and we'll have an occasion to put the emphasis there. Now, the proper title for this historical book has always been a problem here in the Bible I use, which is the Authorized Version. It's called the Acts of the Apostles, and you find that in other texts. The Codex Vaticanus manuscript calls it the Acts of the Apostles also. And others have called it the Acts of the Ascended and Glorified Lord. And I would rather think that the key is given to us in the first two verses of the first chapter. And if I may venture my own opinion, it would be this title, and this is a long one, of course: The Lord Jesus Christ at Work by the Holy Spirit Through the Apostles. I would say that that would be the title of this very wonderful book. Now let's come, therefore, to Acts 1 and look at this statement that we've just made. And you see now the Lord Jesus Christ at work by the Holy Spirit through the apostles in Jerusalem. That begins with chapters 1 through 7. Now will you listen to Dr. Luke as he begins? The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. Now that former treatise was the Gospel of Luke, of course. And Theophilus, obviously, is the name of a man, and his name means lover of God. Now he says, I wrote to you the Gospel of Luke. Now I'm sending to you this other further treatise of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Now, In the Gospel of Luke, he began to do and teach. In the book of Acts, he continues to do and teach. And today, he's still at it, if I may use that expression. And he'll continue on with this present program until he takes the church out of the world. That is the picture that is before us. Now it says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that, he through the Holy Spirit. Now, just because he was taken up to heaven didn't mean he didn't keep working, didn't keep doing and teaching. And now, from the vantage place of the right hand of God, after that, he through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit worked through the apostles, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So that you have here now, what do they call it in the army, this idea of passing of command from one man to another? Actually, we have here the Lord Jesus Christ, and he working through the Holy Spirit through the apostles, and on out to you and me where we are today. This is a remarkable statement, by the way. But we're not through with it. This is another one of these periodic sentences we talked about in the Gospel of Luke, and it goes on down through verse 4. I'm reading now verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, that is, after his suffering and death, by many infallible proofs. Now, I want to emphasize that. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. There are 10 recorded appearances of Jesus after his resurrection. And his post-resurrection ministry, as revealed in his appearances, it has a more important bearing on the lives of Christian today than the 3-year ministry recorded in the 4 Gospels. Paul put it like this. Paul says, though we have known him after the flesh, we know him no longer after the flesh. You and I today know him not as the one who walked here 1900 years ago, but we know him today as the one, the man in the glory. As someone said, the church has lost sight of him. He's up there right now, this very moment, while I'm talking and while you are listening. He's up there, and he is there and is real. Oh, how real he is. I'm going to share with you a statement that came to me in a letter from a person who said they'd been a church member all their lives, and they went through all the little ritual, thought they were Christian. But they had to come to the Word of God to find out they didn't even know him. And the wonderful thing they found out, not only did he walk here 1,900 years ago, but he's alive today and yonder at God's right hand, and they could come to him and know him as Savior. How wonderful that is. And he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Now, the problem today with the unbelief of man is not in the fact. The facts are available. I wonder if anybody that's listening to me doubts the Battle of Waterloo and that Napoleon fought there. Now, very frankly, I believe that Napoleon lived, and I believe he fought the Battle of Waterloo. And I give you my word, I have very little evidence for it, but I believe it. And may I say to you, there's 10,000 times more evidence for the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ than there is for the Battle of Waterloo. And yet, there are people today, they say they don't believe it. Where's the problem? The problem is in the heart, the unbelief, the natural tendency of man to run away from God as Adam did and turn his back upon God today. The problem, my friend, if you're listening to me today and an unbeliever, the problem is with you, not with the Word of God. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, and if you really want to know, you can know. It's because you don't want to know. The problem is not in the mind. The problem is in the will. That is the thing that's all important. Now, I must stop there today. Oh, we're coming into a wonderful book, my friends. May God richly bless you, my beloved.
Yep, it's going to be a great study. So I'll meet you back here next time as we travel further into the book of Acts. In the meantime, if we can answer your questions about this ministry, or if you'd like to find a Bible study resource that helps you deepen your own study of God's Word, then you need to visit ttb.org or just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now, God bless you today as you walk with Him in His Word.
Jesus made it home. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives, found only when we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him yet?